Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the When the Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the When the Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. I'm your handicapped host, James Cox, and I got another interview today. We're just killing it with interviews this whole week, right? So I have a special guest. His name is Dr. B. He was referred to as the mad scientist, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yes?
Yeah, that's right. At one point.
At one point, yes. So we're going to dig deep into that, too. But he has two albums out right now. Came out in 2024. It's The Asylum. And this year he released Echoes Through Time, and he is a best-selling author with the book called The Elysium, and we're going to talk about that. That is based on the Holy War, which is super awesome to hear. I can't wait for him. I think it's about dragons and stuff like that, so we're going to dive deep into it. So, Dr. B, what's going on, brother?
Nothing much.
All right. How are you? Good. So, did I get everything right? Because sometimes I could, you know, could find false information online, you know?
No. That's all correct.
Okay.
I appreciate you having me on the show. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah. Because just for reference, for the people understanding, we were going to meet, I think 3 weeks ago, maybe. But,
yeah.
He had some gigs already booked. So I told him I would rather him do that than be on the show, you know, because Because I'm a lover of music, and anytime anybody can play for people publicly and musically, I would rather do that first and then come on the show. So once again, we do thank you for coming on, you know.
No problem. Thank you.
Yeah. So the Mad Scientist, first of all, I couldn't find this on your thing. When did you start making music? I mean, like, you know, professionally.
I started out as a DJ when I was about 16 years old, and I became a turntablist, focusing on scratching and beat juggling. Not too much body tricks. My thing was more scratching. And then that kind of led me into, I would say, the year 2000, where I became really good friends with a legendary DJ, Mr. Sinister from The Executioners. Okay. He introduced me to some people in New York. And one thing led to another, and ended up getting a label deal with Record Distribution, which was owned by Warner Brothers at the time. And the deal was, at the time, was to pretty much make predominantly hip hop and reggae, a little bit of R&B music. For me personally, I was just in charge of the label. So from an artist perspective, I didn't make any music. But I wasn't really, you know, I wanted to make my own music and make electronic music. I just really couldn't, based on the situation.
Right.
And I was focusing on other artists, and, you know, we were spending a lot of money on them. But I did that for about 4 years and realized this was like a complete nightmare. I mean, I had like so many. I had some good experiences. It wasn't all bad. But after a while, there was just so much like drug abuse and alcohol use and the constant partying. Like I just couldn't do it. And it just really wasn't for me, you know? So, and I don't like all that industry like bullshit, you know, events and, you know, things that you quote unquote have to do if you're gonna make it. Like, it's like, but, you know, and that's what I love about music now is that you don't have to really conform or really follow anybody's rules. You can really do your own thing. You can put out music the way you want, whenever you want. You can put out your own schedule and develop a real connection with your own fans in a completely different way without all that industry nonsense and, you know, BS. I mean, for some people, it's cool and they like it, and I'm not knocking them. But, you know, for some people, it's just a nightmare. You know, for me personally, I think it's a nightmare. I'm one of those guys that's, you know, if you get me in there, I'm like just counting the minutes until I can get out of there.
Well, I think it also speaks for you on your mental health, you know, too, because I know a lot of people who are converting to independent artists, you know, I mean, like you said, you get to release albums your way, your own time, you know. And I think that saves a lot of your mental health, you know, being in the bigger industry, you know. So Because I just think that mental health is more of an issue we should talk about instead of like third world problems, you know, like we are now. And I don't think that mental health is talked about that much, you know. So talking to you would bring light to people who are struggling with what you're going through with the music industry and everything. So yeah, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, there's a lot of when I was in the music business, I saw some. I'm not going to get into all the details,
No,
but I will
yeah.
say that I saw some moments of crisis, and I saw some pretty crazy things at times. And some people just aren't as stable as other people. And then when you throw alcohol and drugs into the situation, you know, some things are just get completely inflamed and out of control. But I've noticed that when I was in the music business, a lot of these type of crazy scenarios were happening on a regular basis, like around me. A lot of like I really think just like a lot of screaming, yelling, frustrations. The happy times weren't as happy as they used to be. And one day I realized, you know what? I don't have to do this. I mean, you know, I'm doing this because I want to do it. Like I don't like have to do this. I can go home anytime. So I realized, yeah, it wasn't really for me. So yeah, I went back to Canada. And but yeah, but now the way I'm releasing music now, it's really amazing. You know, you don't have to deal with any type of nonsense. You can do the shows the way you want to do the shows. And, you know, a lot of people focus on like doing shows online. You know what I mean? Stuff
Cause I
way
know
across
during
from the
the
living room.
yeah, cause I know during the pandemic, I went to a online concert. You know, that was great. You know, they're bringing you joy through the screen of this. You know, so yeah.
And I think what's amazing about that is it's on the internet. I mean, what if you're in Europe or Japan or something like that? You can now experience this in a way that you couldn't do it before. So, you know, that's pretty exciting. You know, I do also think that there's like some regular groundwork you still need to do, like as a musician, like specifically. You know, I mean, I still think the power of just like meeting with people and talking to them and trying to connect with them and getting them to hear your story and you listen to other people's stories and you just spend some time with people. Like, I find those moments are really impactful and they stay with people. You
Oh
know what I
yeah,
mean?
big time.
Yeah. And it's not just music at that point. You know, now they kind of like know you a little bit better, or a little bit deeper. And that's what human beings are. We're not robots, right?
No, I mean, not yet.
A lot of this about, you know, these other artists and what they're saying and what they're doing. You know, a lot of people get really emotional about certain songs. I remember a few years ago when I had an acoustic song released, 432, I had several people reach out to me and tell me, you know, how they were going through like a difficult relationship and a hard time, and this song like kind of helped them. I had no idea that was going to happen. Like, I didn't like intend for that to happen. But when you see those messages, you start to realize, holy shit, you know, I can actually, you know, impact people in a different way. And it's amazing when it happens because you're not expecting it, right?
Right.
And it's very moving and emotional. And I think we all kind of can connect on that like different level.
I will tell you that 432 is one of my favorite songs too. You know, it's just emotionally impacted, you know, my soul. I'm gonna say that song and play it throughout the whole day. You know, when I'm deep down in depressed, you know, I just recently upped my dose and my medication, so hopefully that works too. But I know your song will help me more with, you know, my anxiety and depression. You know, I have a little bit of anxiety, but not much, you know. But the other song that I really, really love is Even When We're Apart, you know, and that's from the
new man.
Echoes.
That's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So
I actually, I wrote that. That's a love song I wrote to my wife.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wrote that song, it was maybe about 4 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And I remember. Okay. Yeah, and I remember, you know, when I first did it, and I, you know, had a reference. It wasn't mixed or anything like that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it was super raw. It was only like maybe 2 days into it. Yeah. So I played it for her, and she looked at me and she started crying.
Yeah.
And I said,
very emotional.
Yeah, I said, well, if she's not really that type of person. She doesn't like, you know, cry a lot or get that emotional at music and stuff. She does at movies.
Well, yeah, right.
But not at songs. So I know if I was able to move her in that way, you know, I knew this was going to be a really good song. Yeah, so I'm really happy I finally was able to get it released. Because like I said, I've been sitting on it for years.
Right, yeah.
But so far the feedback has been very positive. And
it's a beautiful song, yeah.
Yeah, I hope people connect with it in a different way. I mean, within the context of the characters in the story, I try to use or write the songs really like when you start listening to the story, the relationship between Dinah and Damien, it picks up maybe about 2 to 3 years into their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout this time, they've been operating as jumpers. They're jumping through time. They're being hunted by the Time Lords. They've killed dozens of cops, dozens of Time Lords. They spend time literally outside of time, like hiding. But within all that chaos and violence and drama, they still were able to find each other. These two beautiful souls, they were able to find each other and connect. Yeah. So what I wanted to do was choose songs that really represented their relationship. And if you listen to it, it's just really just like any other relationship. There's songs that represent like, you know, I can't live without you. I need you more than anything, like even when we're apart. And then there's other songs like Heartbroken, where you can hear the frustration from the male perspective and then the female's perspective,
mm-hmm.
right? Just like in any other relationship, right? We all have our different perspectives on how we see things. So the songs kind of represent the relationship as it goes kind of back and forth. But in the end, they end up, you know, staying together because they realize they're soulmates.
Yeah.
So, I tried to make a really cool love story within the context of something really chaotic and violent.
Yeah.
And, I'm a little bit of a romantic in that way. So.
But yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I was going to say that's a very deep story. And I love the fact that you call your music audio films, you know, because that's what it is. It's a movie presented to you through audio, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. I've seen audio Broadways, but not audio films, you know?
Right.
So yeah, so
Yeah, I'm
that's
so
very,
glad
very
you liked it.
interesting. Yeah.
I'm so glad you liked it. It was something I came up with because when I was doing my graphic novel, I was turning it into a motion comic.
Right.
And a motion comic is pretty much it's think of a digital comic book, but everything within the screen, there's like some animation, there's movement, there's some special effects, there's like some sound effects, explosions, things like that. There's also some music, so or cinematic music. So when I was doing mine, I couldn't find anybody to do the music properly. So I just said, "Oh man, I'll just do it
I'll do
myself."
it by ear.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So when I started doing that, that's what really got me back into music because I just loved making the music so much, and I love, but more importantly, I loved incorporating it within this really cool story. So that's really kind of where it developed from. And as I realized, like, what I really like doing is writing stories. I like writing deep stories, not all the time. And I don't want everybody to think all I have is just like audio films. I have like 80 singles that are, just
Right.
regular pop, hip hop, electronic music, just for you to dance to. But I also like to give the audience something different and unique. I think that there's probably over 100,000 songs being uploaded a day,
Some crazy like that. Yeah. It's
just on Spotify
wild.
alone.
Yeah.
So when you think about it, just in terms of genre, that's like a lot of pop songs, right? That's a lot of hip hop songs. That's a
Right.
lot of Jersey club tracks, and it goes on and on and on. But let's be honest, 90, 95% of these songs are the same.
They're
So
all the same,
yeah, but and that's fine. Structurally, like a song is a song, and that's the way a song should be. But
And it works, you
within my
know.
music, in terms of albums, I just wanted to provide the audience something unique and different. So, for example, if you're on your way home, and you're on the bus, or if you're in the subway, or maybe you're just in your living room, I want you to, put on those noise-canceling headphones, put on one of my tracks, and if you just close your eyes, you'll literally feel like you're inside the theater. You'll really feel it. You'll hear those sound effects. You'll hear the explosions and gunshots and things like that. And I wanted to offer something that was just a little bit more than just a regular track.
Right.
So that's kind of, and so far the response has been pretty positive. So we'll see what happens. But I got a couple more that I'm working on this year. So I'm hoping
Well,
to release at least one more.
yeah, speaking of that, I found out that your upcoming album, Dragonfire, is a narrative of a inspired from Game of Thrones. And I love Game of Thrones too. I
Yeah.
haven't seen the whole thing because I heard like everybody dies, you know, spoiler alert. I shouldn't say that first, right? But it's been years since it's been a one-off. But yeah. So can you share how you're weaving different genres and visuals into the project while maintaining a like a story thing?
Well, I kind of look at it as like when I'm writing a story, how can I say this? Let me put it to you this way.
Okay.
Not every story can be told through house music.
Okay.
Okay. So, for example, when I was writing my story for Dragonfire, one of the things that I was pretty adamant about is that I wanted the album to be predominantly opera and classical music. And I was able to work with four, maybe five opera singers over the last 4 years
Okay.
in Italy and France, and I had the most amazing experience. I talked to them about the story, I talked to them about the characters, and all of these singers are like the best voice actors.
Right.
They all re they all recorded amazing lines for me, and when I was telling them about the characters, what was really exciting is that they were getting excited about the story just as much as I was excited, and that's what I wasn't expecting. I wasn't expecting them to really dive into these roles. Like they were like really immersed into these roles. And when they were sending me back the lines, I was just so impressed. And it got me more excited. So I'd go to my studio and record some more stuff and music, send that back to them. And it was just a beautiful experience. I was able to record in total, I think, 12 songs.
Wow. And,
yeah. And what I loved about it is there was no rush to the tracks. What I mean by that is the time frame. You see, when you're working with electronic music or maybe pop music, based on streaming and how, you know, you kind of want people to hit repeat, you probably don't want to go past 2 minutes and 20 seconds when you're making a track, just in general.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
With opera and classical music, I really got to stretch my wings because I didn't have to do that. I can make a 6 minute song and it's totally fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm appealing to a completely different audience, right? My audience, like I take my daughter to the opera at this theater in Toronto. Yeah. The audience is minimum 65, you know, right? It's retired. Yeah. It's a specific different type of audience. I'm not saying those are the only people that like this type of genre, but let's be honest, there's not a lot of 19-year-olds.
No, they don't go to, no, right.
Yeah, Spotify. So I'm just saying this audience, this genre really appreciates this type of music. They really appreciate the instruments and the opera singing. You don't have to rush with them. You can give them a 10-minute song and they'll love it. They'll just sit there and listen to it and just enjoy it. So that was a really, really fun part about making those tracks. You know, we really got to just kind of just hang out with these characters and just let them build, play around with melodies and different concepts. It was really fun. So I'm still playing around with some of the lines and the interludes, but all the music is done. The
music okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say it's so relaxing that you said that the people that you work with, they enjoy it as well, you know, because it's very rare that you find like artists to share the same energy, you know, that you do, you know.
Oh, James, let me tell you something. From a creator's perspective, I'm also the producer and the director. When I work with voice actors and other musicians, 9 out of 10 times they literally get excited just as much as I do now. And I think that's because, well, first of all, when you find the right people to work with and you guys just click, then you guys just click, right? And that's like a really great relationship to create something unique and something brand new. But it's also been organic. It's not like I sent them a message saying, hey, you better love my music. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just turned out that the people that I reached out to just really liked what I was doing and they wanted to be a part of it. Like one of the voice actors I've worked with a few times, he plays the God of Time on The Asylum. And he also plays Zeus on Dragonfire.
Okay.
And I love that. His name's Ricky. He's done.
Yeah, he has a powerful voice, dude.
Amazing. And I love working with him. He's done like tens of thousands of projects over the last, I think, 40 years, he told me. Like in Hollywood. Yeah. I'm talking about like commercials and voice acting, things like that. He's got like a really impressive resume. So when I spoke to him, and he said he wanted to do this or be a part of it, I was so honored because, you know, he's so talented. He's got a great resume. You know, he was booked like 6 months in advance. And he would say, you know what? You know what I like about you? I really like the story. I like the creativity. I like the fact you want me to play Zeus. And then we spent like 2 days just talking about how he should play Zeus.
That's
right? Like I felt like... I felt like I was like Ron Howard, like on a movie set talking to the actors. And I'm like, holy shit, this is amazing. Like they care this much about these characters that they're talking to me about this.
Right.
And spending this much time going over it and over it. And then they would send me different versions. And they said, listen, I really want you to be happy. Here's this. I did it this way. Here's another way. I did it that way. So, yeah, that type of energy is like addictive. The energy to kind of keep going and see it to the end, because you do need so much emotional and physical stamina when you're doing like a whole big project, right? Yeah. And there's multiple people involved, and there was also other musicians involved that were playing like different instruments on different tracks. So yeah, it was pretty crazy, but I loved it. I mean, it was such a great experience.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where to go from now from here, Elena. But okay, so in your professional opinion, how does creating audio films differ from composing like traditional music? You know, like we hear in the radio.
Just like a regular song.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the main difference is what you're going to hear, first of all, is a really in-depth, strong story, usually involving voice actors of some kind, special effects, and really, I would say, emotional depth of music.
Yeah,
and it's right. Really a combination of the two, right? So, for example, when you hear, if your listeners listen to my audio film, Echoes Through Time,
yes.
It starts off with a narration of just setting the tone of describing the world, what's happening, who are the characters, and what this story is really about. And when you're listening to that, I'm sure you realized it. Excuse me, you'll hear like different sound effects. There's also like some gunshots, some firing, you know, things like that. In some of the other interludes, you hear different things, you know, depending on the story. You'll hear explosions and a lot of time jumping. I love making that sound.
Yeah.
You know, the right? Yeah. I spent 2 days just working on that because
hey man, you came out great, you know? Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Because the thing is, if you're working on a film, it's 90% visual, right? You can actually see it, and the audio kind of enhances the visual. But when you have no visuals, then you have to think of what you're giving the audience. You got to think of it from a completely different perspective, because now there's a part, like one of the interviews, I'm describing what life is like outside the timeline.
Yeah.
But no one could see that, right? So I can't show you colors or no color or black. So what does that sound like? I also can't make black sound like nothing. Right.
Well, that's what I was going to say to you, is because my version of the story might be wholly different from yours, you know? I mean, because my characters might do something totally different, but I mean, it's the same story, you know, same sound effects, you know, but the characters in my story that I'm thinking in my head might be doing this, and your characters might be doing something else, you know, and that's fantastic with the audio film, you know.
But you see, James, that's, I'm so happy you said that, because that's what I want everybody to take away from this.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Right.
The reason why there are no visuals is because I want you to dream.
Yes.
I want you to close your eyes, put on those noise-canceling headphones, and disappear into a different place. And when you really listen to it, you feel like you're inside the story, right? You feel like it's your part of something bigger. And it's not just a regular track that you have on a playlist, right?
Right.
And again, those are great for when you want to work out or listen to
music. Those were always fun,
Yeah, but if you're looking for something, you know, just a little different, a little bit more unique, you want to be entertained a little bit more, you're looking for something that's a little bit deeper, I would encourage everybody to check out my audio films.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you I'll entertain you. It's like going to the movies, but you're doing it right on the bus.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. A few more questions, sir. Or a few more things I want to talk to you about. So sure. I love you because you like coffee, you know, and I'm an avid drinker too. And I believe every time I cut myself, coffee's going to spill out of my body, you know, because I drink too much sometimes. But you have an art book called Coffee and Art, which has art as well as coffee recipes, you know. So first of all, how awesome is a book to have coffee recipe? I love coffee, so I'm always, you know, egging for your recipes. But what exactly will we see the art about? I mean, is it like art for like coffee items or like something totally different? Because I, you know.
Well, The art book's coming out in the summer. It's called Coffee and Art.
Right.
It's about the asylum, my audio
Okay.
film.
Okay.
So this is about 200 pages of storyboards, and some of the stuff is right behind me here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
I'm
because I've
just
seen.
coming.
Yeah. Yeah, because I did listen to the nurse on
Oh,
the.
the full essay.
Yeah,
That was
obviously.
fun.
Yeah.
So I did. We made an art book. And I used to be an executive chef
Okay. Yeah.
several years ago, so I thought it would be fun. At the bit, there's four different chapters. At the beginning of each chapter, there's an original easy to make coffee recipe that I put in the book
Yeah.
that I came up with that you can make with your family or by yourself. Enjoy a different coffee as you're looking at the art book and listening to the album. And you can gain a different experience.
Yes. Awesome. I love that. I love that. Yeah. So you gotta tell me when that comes out, because I'm definitely gonna get that from
Oh,
you
for sure, for
for
sure.
art and
I'll send you the
especially the
links.
coffee recipes. Yeah, because I think that they're like now are those family recipes for your coffee or just coffee you just like made on
These
your own and
recipes that I
decided.
made, I
Oh
came up with
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
A couple of them are like very, one of them is, a specific recipe for my wife. I believe
Okay.
it's called Ellie's Kit Kat coffee
Ooh.
recipe.
That sounds so
So,
great. That sounds so great, dude. Yeah.
I'll definitely send you the link when it comes
Yes,
out.
please
But
do.
other than that, yeah, they're just coffee recipes that I made up.
Okay.
I really
Okay.
wanted to focus on flavor, but also you want it to be easy, right? You don't
Yes.
want it to
Yeah,
be
not too right.
complicated.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be a cool way to spend some time with the family, or maybe you're just making it yourself, but you can choose a coffee, sit back and check out some cool art and enjoy yourself.
Nice. Well, I also want to give I'll talk about the Elysium, the Holy War ebook that you can find on eBay, or I mean not eBay, Amazon right now.
Yeah.
You can buy it for Kindle. I think it's 99 cents, so let's support Dr. B here.
Thank you, thank you.
But this book is book one out of like 12 or something, so yeah, this book is it covers good and versus evil, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
This book talks about a holy war that takes place between God and the devil after, pretty much after you die. So
Okay.
after you die, you really fight for one side or the other, based on how you live your life and how you see yourself as that specific individual. So let's say, for example, you're on Earth. You might be 5 foot 2, maybe a little chubby, maybe you get bullied a lot, but on the inside, you see yourself as 6'5", as a giant, right? You're fierce, you're brave. So in the afterlife, chances are you might come back as that and fight for one side or the other. So the audience, it was well received when I wrote that graphic novel, and it was a great experience. I got to work with some really cool artists on that. But what I wanted to do is I only came out with one book of that issue. It was a really long and difficult process to get that issue out. It took me like almost 3 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I ran into so many problems. Like there was budgeting issues, then I ran into issues with the artist. I had to change the artist a few times.
Okay.
Then there
Yeah.
was scheduling delays. It was just like a really nightmare. And then I wanted to focus on like going to school and
Yeah.
focus on my studies. So I decided not to put any books out. And then years later, when I was working on the asylum, I always wanted to go back and do something about the Holy War, but I never really got to. So the asylum is kind of like another version of the Holy War, but just way updated. So I didn't want to focus on God and the devil. So this story is really about all these different gods and how their influences affect human beings and the flow of time and what takes place really behind the scenes, right?
So it's
So
about like Greek gods or Norse gods or gods that you created.
Well, these gods are—I refer to them as the old gods. So you have—I don't—I don't talk about too many of them because I, again, you're talking about like an audio film, so I didn't want it to get too complicated and crazy to the point where people couldn't keep track of everybody. So I have like the god of time, the god of destiny. We have also the god of chaos and the god of nightmares, and then there's the serpent god, which is pretty cool. The god of nightmares, that was a really fun story and idea to play around with. At the time, I was taking a class about the solar system, and the teacher was talking about Earth's moon, right? So she's showing us these videos of about 60% of the moon is undiscovered, right, or unexplored, right? So she's showing me these the class like these craters and these giant holes, and it's just pure blackness. And I'm looking at them, and I'm practically shitting my pants, man. Like it looks just so terrifying, right? It just looks like the scariest thing I've ever seen. And then I'm thinking to myself, this is in space, right? Like, what if something's living in there? Like, what could live
Like
in
alien,
space?
you know, or something.
Yeah, right. So I'm just thinking and thinking and thinking, and I'm getting more and more scared, and I'm scaring the shit out of myself. So then I'm thinking, so when I was speaking to the concept artist about the God of Nightmares, I told him, I said, he was like, how do we really make this scary? And like, what really scares people, right? Like, what we need something that's going to scare like a 4-year-old kid or like a, someone who's 8. Like, what
Or
does,
someone older, like 45, like me,
what's really terrifying? So we started talking about like playing around with these ideas of, okay, like, when you're a kid and your mom and dad put you to bed, at some point in time, I think in every kid's life, there's this moment where you see like these shadows on the doors or the windows or something's flapping or banging, and you're not sure if something's there or not, and you just get really terrified. So I said, I think we need to start there, like with that type of presence and that type of mood. So we started drawing like the backgrounds and what that would look like from a child's perspective, right? To really make it terrifying. And then with the character, what I did was I took Earth's moon as the base of his skull, like his face. And the eyes I used as these giant craters from the moon as the inspiration. So when you actually look into it, it did like there's no end to it. There's no eye there. It just looks like a giant hole, right? So what I wanted to look like, so when the audience sees it, I wanted them to get the impression like your soul's being like sucked into like the eyes of nightmare. And then when you get pulled in, you're pulled into this nightmare realm where it's just chaos and just horrible, right? And you see these different nightmares that individuals are living, but they're living it on a loop, right? And it's all these different patterns and colors and shades, and some's in 3D, 2D, and it's popping in and out. So yeah, we're all different ideas. And so like stuff like that's in the art book. You'll see like my what was in my head for like the God of Chaos and what he looks like. And it's kind of cool because first you listen to it and then you're like, oh, okay, this is what the actual artist says, this is what he was thinking. This is what these characters look like, So yeah, so that'll be out in the summer and I hope everybody likes it. And it'll be available at all digital bookstores this summer, yeah.
Speaking of scary stuff, there a guy told me the world's scariest story, and it's only like four words. If he was like, there was a knock at the door. Like, oh crap, that's but because your mind will put tricks on you, so it could be God, it could be Satan, it could be a killer, it could be anybody, So it could be the best story on earth or the most terrifying, So, but I truly don't want to meet the God of Nightmares in your book. That sounds horrifying to me. Jeez, I'm probably gonna skip that page when I get to it,
Well,
So.
wait till you see there's a couple of pages where I actually draw out, and it's like the book is specifically made like super wide, super thick. So there's like two pages back to back. And it was designed like this on purpose so that you can get this real sense of like this whole world. And you see these individual nightmares taking place. You know, like one of them is like a woman throwing her baby off a cliff, right? Mm. Like you don't know what's happening, but you know crazy shit like that happens all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe this is her nightmare over and over on a loop.
And she lives
you have another
over
person. Yeah, you have another person being hanged, another person's being shot like on repeat, just constantly getting up and getting down. You know, another person's being eaten alive and another person's eating himself. And it's just like this really bizarre artistic images, but at the same time, it's meant to be, pretty terrifying. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I'm really going to take my depression medication now. You know, it's like, oh my God, dude, that's so scary. But we do have one more question for you and then we'll let you go. But I do want to thank you for coming on again.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
So, the last question I ask everybody is always different for everybody. Okay, so do you have one song, artist, or album that you can listen to right now that you can't tell me, your wife, your children, or your mom and dad how it makes you feel deep inside your soul? It's so emotional. You know, you can't express your feelings, you know.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, this is probably one of the hardest questions I ask.
You know what? The funny thing is, I do have some songs that just make me feel really great and emotional, but I don't mind telling anybody what it is. So,
right,
it's
yeah.
It's not like
yeah.
a secret.
No, well, yeah, yeah. Like there's one song by the Dead Dead's called "I Santa Beamed Us Up," you know. And I always think about my uncle. You know, I told you, you know, my feelings, but to me, I can't tell you how it makes me feel remembering him when he was living. You know.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I understand what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
mean, you can't tell me, but you literally can't tell your feelings about it. You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
I understand. Do you know what the funny thing is? I don't think I have one particular song like that.
Yeah, that's fine.
The funny thing is, I listen to the radio a lot.
Yes.
You know, I listen to like maybe four or five different stations to get like, you know, different genres. But a lot of times I find like a song will come on and it'll just maybe spark a memory or spark an emotion that you weren't really thinking about. You know, a lot of times I think about when my kids were like 2 and 3, you know, and they would, one of my favorite things is when they would run up to you, that they speak Greek and they would go, Ella, Baba, Baba. They go, Pano, Pano, which means daddy, you know, pick me up. But the way they would stick their arms up in the air, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, your heart just melts.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, how can you say no to that? So
we got
to
pick them up, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get some moments like that, probably just like everybody else. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Nice. Well, once again, I do love you, and I hope to work with you one day. Tell me when you're free, because you have like so many projects going on. I don't know how you sleep, but I guess you sleep pretty well, you know, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
But we honestly love you, and we beg you to come back anytime you want to.
Thank you. Yeah, I got a Christmas album coming out later this year. So
I love Christmas music, man.
Talk about that.
Yes. I actually have an online radio station coming on in a few months. So I would love to get some of your songs on there if we could work something out. So, but I'll be in touch with you. Okay.
100%. 100%.
Yes, sir. Thank you again. And with that said, everybody, thank you so much for listening. And always remember, when words fail, Jesus speaks. Bye, guys.